Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to continue to talk today about a theme looking at this week of what time is it? The times that we're living in, understanding something about the moment that we're living in, because we want to be able to make the most of the time. And if we don't understand the times, it's difficult to know how to make the best value judgments with what we've been given. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program over the last couple of days, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there, and the themes I touched on really the first day was on the Eucharist on Monday. Eucharist is for us the living sign that God has transformed time. He's changed time, and he's connected it to eternity in the coming of his son, Jesus, and Jesus taking on human flesh. You know, the apostles saying in the first chapter, 1 John, you know, what we've seen, what we've touched, we've heard, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. So eternal life has entered the human condition. Eternal life has entered time. Yesterday, I talked a little bit about what the Catechism tells us in paragraphs 670 through 672 about this being the last hour of human history. This is the time of mercy. That is the time of the church where the salvation that's won for us in Christ is brought to the whole world. And I'd like to narrow the scope just a little bit further, taking a cue from Pope Francis, really, in a document he helped author, which is called the Aparecida document, where the bishops of South America got together and really tried to assess the times we're living in. One of the things they said is that we're not just living, I mean, what's happening today, there's something seismic happening in the world. That we're not just living through a time of change, that we're living through a change of the ages. Something very, very significant is happening. And a friend of mine kind of put it this way in a little paper he wrote. He said, every society, every civilization, every society is built upon a moral and spiritual imaginative vision. That vision informs the way of life of the people, a culture. When that vision is seriously contested, society will go into crisis until it is reconstituted or that vision is overthrown. That's a description of what we're living through. That's a description of the kind of thing that the Aparecida document is referring to, really, of a change of the ages. And what is that change? What's the moral and spiritual imaginative vision that's being contested today? Well, I've talked in the program periodically over the last few years about understanding what we're witnessing in the Western world, in Europe, Canada, the United States, and now increasingly in other places as well, and that is the decline of or the collapse of what was typically described as Christendom. Christendom is that time in history, really 1,500 years nearly, or so of the church's history, when whole societies, whole nations, lived with a kind of respect for God's revelation and the eternal perspective of Scripture, acknowledging the commandments and the role the commandments ought to play in the formation of a society, the whole way of life that's the culture of the people, what the people valued, how we ordered our life and ordered our time was built on this realization, this imaginative vision. St. John Paul, in a document called Novo Millennio Iniunte, described the change this way. He said, even in countries evangelized many centuries ago, the reality of a Christian society, which amid all the frailties which have always marked human life, measured itself explicitly on gospel values, is now gone. What he's saying is that Christendom has collapsed. Just remembering when I was a child, here's an example of how Christendom expressed itself in the way of life and the pattern of life of a people. I lived in a small town in southern Minnesota, and on Sundays, especially Sunday mornings, the entire town pretty much was just shut down, even most gas stations and things. I mean, everything was shut down. It was the day of the Lord. It was a day of rest. Now, did everybody in that little town want to? Everybody who ran a business, did they want to shut it down? No. But that was the customs of the people because people didn't shop. Say, what's the point of opening up my store if people aren't even going to come and shop? And why wouldn't people shop? Because it's not a day to enter into commerce. It's a day set aside to rest. It's a day to set aside to be with the Lord. It's the Lord's day. We're commanded to set aside the Lord's day in the Ten Commandments. And so Society cared about that. Why? Because we believed that God existed. We believed that God sent his son. It was primarily a Christian society. It was Judeo-Christian in many of the common forms throughout society. But in many ways, it was also distinctively Christian, having a respect for the Lord's Day and respect for marriage and understanding of the meaning of the human person and very fundamental things. It was just part of the air we breathed. We just absorbed it. We lived it. Well, that worldview that we're created by God, we're created by a loving God, we're created by a God who sent his son into the world, that we're made for eternity, that his son came to deal with a fundamental spiritual battle that exists on the earth between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, that he came to lay down his life and to offer his life for the salvation of the world, and in his coming and his victory over Satan, his return to the right hand of the Father and outpouring of the Holy Spirit began the final stage of human history, as I talked about yesterday, and that the most important thing in life is to live a life aligned with God's purpose and plan for us. And it's very important for society to acknowledge the reality of the presence of God. Not that it has to be a fully religious society, but this is what it meant. This is what Christendom meant. And that meaning in life was something that we receive from God. It's not something we manufacture or that we create. But that worldview, that reality, is being contested today and pretty much throughout Europe, parts of Canada, and more now in the United States, it's being overthrown. It's being replaced by a different immoral and imaginative vision of reality. And it's a reality that's fundamentally secular. So we're seeing a secularization of culture. So the habit patterns, the way of life of the society that were once present, let's just consider, you know, the Lord's Day, it's no longer the Lord's Day. And it's no longer the Lord's Day for a variety of reasons, but one of them is people don't see the need for it. They don't see the value of it. Well, why? Because that's a religious optic, and society's okay with people having, you know, subjective, personal, religious ideas, but they don't want it impacting the culture and the way of life. So that's at the heart of it, that in Christendom, it was welcome to a degree, even in a pluralistic society. But today, it's not only because we live in a pluralistic society, but we live in an intensely secular, ever-increasing secular society, a society that's somehow defining itself over and against God, rather than a society in some way that shows in its laws, in its cultural habits, in its fundamental things like understanding the meaning of human life, understanding what it means to be human, understanding the meaning of human sexuality, marriage, and the rest of it, that it no longer is interested in looking to the church to inform what the meaning of these things are. So we're seeing a radical transformation. And so something like just seeing Sunday as just another day in the week is a transformation in a cultural tradition or habit. And what's underneath it is a new vision of looking at how we're going to live together as a society. We're not going to value that publicly in the way we once did, because we want a radical separation between church and state. And we don't want religion in the public square. We want it private and kept private, and we don't want it to inform or impact what we decide are our fundamental values. Now, people try to act as if a neutrality has been created, a kind of a neutral space, a third way, but it really hasn't. Because there's only two ways. Either God exists or he doesn't. And we're trying to form a way of life in a society that lives as if God didn't exist, in a kind of utopian, secular utopian idea, an imaginative vision is emerging in our culture. That what we, first of all, that there is no God. There is no God who created society. There is no meaning inherent in things. The Big Bang happened. We don't exactly know entirely why. Life, therefore, doesn't have any kind of fundamental inherent meaning. There's no purpose or design built into human life and creation in human history. It's just matter in motion is what it is. It's mindless. It's meaningless at a certain level. So any attempt to find a deeper meaning is a subjective imposition on reality itself, which is a complete flip from what it used to be in Christendom, when he said that all of creation is a word, it's a sign, It's a sign of a creator, and we can see something of God in this order, in this beauty, in this creation. And the human heart's desire for meaning and the capacity of the mind, the human mind, to grasp order and meaning and the rest of it. So all of that was a coherent worldview. Now, in the secular worldview, it's not true. And so step by step, this worldview and what's driving it, I think there's a demonic root to it myself, but what's driving it is a force to dethrone in part and overthrow the previous vision. And so there's a systematic deconstruction and I think a willful, intelligent, strategic attempt to take apart the structures that were built in a Christendom time and that were the very foundation that allowed the society to continue to live with a coherent vision. What do I mean by that? Things, for example, not so much just the Lord's Day, which I think is a big deal, but also the definition of what it means to be human. What we're seeing is the overthrow of a Judeo-Christian anthropology, even a philosophical anthropology, the Greeks and others, of the identity of what it means to be human. That's a huge problem. And we see it then expressed in how people orient themselves to the world. Well, everybody is an individual unit. Everybody has the right and the freedom to define for themselves the meaning of existence. Because ultimately there is no meaning. There's no ultimate meaning. There's no meta-narrative. There's no bigger story. There's no larger imaginative vision that corresponds to reality. So make it up yourself. Make one up. And so whatever you make up is okay. Everything you make up is true. It's your truth. So you design yourself. And what's underneath it and what we see often is a kind of defining reality against God. If I'm going to be the master of my own truth, I'm going to be the originator of the design and meaning of my life, and then of my naming the meaning of the cosmos. If God exists, I can't do that because the meaning is already there. The order is there. The purpose is there. The design is there. So in order to live in this secular existence, God becomes my adversary. God's my opponent. He stands in the way of my freedom. So I need to reject God and aggressively push God and all the signs of his presence. I got to push it out of society so that I can emerge as my own master, my own creator, if you will, as mad as that sounds. That's where we're at as a society. Instead of receiving meaning, purpose, design, instead of welcoming the reality of God and my being made in the image and likeness of God, I now have to reject that. That becomes a threat to me. God is a threat to me, and so I push it aside. So when these kind of fundamental changes happen, then all kinds of laws, all kinds of ways of looking at the world begin to change, and sort of one domino after another begins to fall. That's part of the time we're living into. And what is this? It's profound spiritual warfare. That's what's at the root of it, is resistance to God. I want to talk more specifically about that tomorrow. I hope that you can join me, because it's important for us to be able to see what we're up against in the times we live in, so we can live wisely in it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.